is where the Lowcountry starts the day informed. Traffic and weather on the fives. News you can trust and an informed perspective you can't get anywhere else. This is the Kelly Golden Show on 94.3 WSC.
All right, coming up, a complete rundown with round one PGA kickoff today.
As you can imagine, there's been a lot of challenges during the COVID times here, but we're doing our best to make sure that every fan that comes out, you know, still has a great experience when they come in this store.
I'll tell you what, the weather's going to be great. Although, for the golfers, I'm a little concerned because they're predicting 20 mile per hour gusts. Oh, that'll really mess with your shot. PGA traffic on John's Island also likely going to be a complete and utter mess. Unfortunately, really building in the next hour because we have people teeing off at about 8:30 this morning for the PGA to kick off in earnest on Kiawah Island. You can count on our traffic reports every 10 minutes on the fives. The first coming up here at 7:15, where we'll get the very latest on 26 inbound. That's a parking lot. After that, Eagle Drive overpass accident. A lot of people just before aviation trying to get to 526 from 26 inbound in the Somerville area are just backed way up this morning. People dumping off on the rivers. There's an 18-wheeler involved in this. Unfortunately, a car off in the woods and one lane had been getting by. Latest in traffic in moments. Want to bring up the head of the Republican Party here in Charleston County. We, Maurice Washington, chairman, congratulations. We've congratulated you on winning re-election for your chairmanship and have been talking about reorganization and really trying to educate everybody on what that means since, you know, you had 45, President Donald John Trump, really bringing a lot of new people to the fold. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for having me. And yes, indeed, he has. So we continue with the precinct reorganization. A lot of people believe that because the county convention and the state convention have both taken place, that's it. There's no room or no space for them to engage. But that is very, very far from the truth. We are still looking for volunteers to help organize precincts from McLenningville to West Ashley to downtown Charleston, Mount Pleasant, North Charleston, especially North Charleston, where we have some 10 precincts that are still needing to be organized. I'm sorry, that's a mistake. We have 18 precincts.
Wow,
in North
almost
Charleston
double.
That we still need, that's correct, organize. And about 17 West Ashley and 10 in Peninsula City, Charleston, and 10 in Mount Pleasant. So we still have a lot of work to do. We have so far organized about 93 of the 181 precincts that exist countywide.
Yes.
So you can't win election unless you build at the grassroots level. And these precinct organizations are critical to our success, will be critical to our success in 2022 and 2024.
So Maurice, people don't really, I think a lot of people, you know, tuning in, new to the whole process of precinct reorganization, this is something that happens with each party every 2 years, correct?
That is correct. We elect president of these precincts, who sets the meetings for precincts, presides at precinct meetings, arrange for precinct reorganization, as well as attend the county executive committee meetings. And we also have, of course, the county executive committee person for that precinct. They actually vote for the precinct at the county executive committee meetings, maintain contact and reports to the precinct members when appropriate. And, of course, they must be willing to attend the monthly county executive committee meeting. There's okay. also a secretary and a treasurer as well.
Wow.
And a vice president. So it's a complete infrastructure build out at the grassroots level. And that's important when we start looking at running candidates at the grassroots local level. School boards, city council, town council, mayors, State House, State Senate. So to the degree in which we can fill precincts and organize precincts determine how well we do in general elections.
So for people who just got completely overwhelmed by that, like, oh, we've got this, we've got that, you have to do all this, and they're worried that they're just too busy already, how do you explain that you can fit it in, you can make it work? I mean, are there some precinct presidents that you can describe to a working mom or dad out there that they can do it so you can too? Because it's time for us to kick out these politicians and elect parents. You mentioned school board, and I think about critical race theory, and I'm like, oh my God, we got people fired up, and there are ways and positions for you to be a part of this.
And be a part of a team, with financial support, grassroots support from neighbors, because we identify who the friendlies are throughout the county. And we bring the friendlies together, the people with common goals and interests and concerns, so that we build the army. So I know one person with courage is a majority, but in this case, you want a lot of people with courage making up that majority. And so we could do this, but it has to be done at the grassroots level. Critical race theory being taught in schools where you teach, for the most part, white kids to hate their skin color, hate their ancestry, and believe that they're part of a racist heritage is absolutely ridiculously crazy, has no business in our school system. And if that doesn't motivate folks to get involved at the grassroots, the precinct level, I don't know what will.
I know. Absolutely. So here is where it happens. So what can we do? Where do we send people, Maurice, to step up and be a part of this?
Send them to info@charlestonrepublicans.com.
Right.
info@charlestonrepublicans.com.
Yeah, because I know we're about to have a newscast hit here where they're talking about CCSD, for example, Charleston County. Listen, the school boards, they're nonpartisan races. So a lot of times when people are running, you don't know what their politics are. And I think it should be opposite that. I think people who are running for school board ought to say, I'm a parent, I'm a conservative, and I'm against critical race theory. I'm against changing our history. I'm against, you know, so anyway, this is where those conversations happen. And, you know, we'll continue to, frankly, but in the news, we're going to hear how they're trying to figure out how to spend millions of dollars coming their way because of COVID. And I mean, if it's poured into more critical race theory kind of nonsense, then don't you as a parent want to have something to say about that? I mean, have a say, and you can by getting involved in the process.
And Kelly, I don't know if you have enough time, but quickly, the school board races in 2022, for the first time in Charleston County's history, will be from single member districts as opposed to countywide school board elections. So Mount Pleasant, for example, will have one or two, downtown Peninsula Charleston, one for sure, North Charleston, at least two districts, West Ash. Those they have changed the at-large way of electing school board members in Charleston County to the single-member district method. And that's critical. So you can't run. You got to run from your district now.
Do you see that, Maurice, as being a good thing or no?
I personally, when you colonize education, I think you're asking for problems. I like it when school board members are accountable to every parent in the county, as opposed to cherry-picking who they respond to or who they take, or who they're willing to even listen to. When you colonize education, you create the kind of divisiveness that that does not help. I think it hurts. But the legislative delegation petitioned the governor and the General Assembly to move from at-large to single, making Charleston County the only school district in the state that runs by district rather than at large. Look at our system currently. You know, when you gerrymander because you want to keep carving out these districts for black candidates or Democrat candidates or white. We got to try to find a way to just make politics work for the people rather than say, you know,
the politicians,
but for the people instead. Oh, politicians.
Yes.
That's correct. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing works with education. That's to me, it's very dicey.
Yes, it's a, and it's the most important thing. All right, so we'll catch up weekly here, and you can too. And I know the invite is there for people to join the Monday meetings with the Charleston County Republican Party.
Second Monday of every month.
Yeah, and send the email info@charlestonrepublicans.com. Is that right?
You got it. You nailed it, Kelly. info@charlestonrepublicans.com.
All right, Maurice Washington, thanks so much.
This is where the low country starts the day informed.
Because I like to know what went on overnight when I was sleeping.
Traffic and weather on the fives. The news you need to know and a perspective you can't find anywhere else. This is the Kelly Golden Show on 94.3 WSC.
Welcome in. It's a What's Up Wednesday edition of the program powered by Matt O'Neill Real Estate here at 709. Drew McKissick joining us this time weekly here on 94.3 WSC. And it was a hard-fought battle. But you, Drew McKissick, remain the chair of the Republican Party in South Carolina. A hearty congratulations. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, ma'am. I really appreciate it. It was an interesting chairman's race. Listen, I've been a part of every chairman's race since 1989, and I'll have to say that it was the most bizarre chairman's race I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, I tell you what, I learned a lot about you, including apparently you're a rhino.
I think my wife learned things about me that she didn't know. You know, it was very educational, or at least things that, you know, some people wanted to guess were true. But,
right.
You know, that's part of the process. But let's just say I'm glad to have crazy in the rearview mirror and focus on productive stuff for a change.
Well, and let's just, before we go too far, talk about the convention itself, because of course there were all kinds of suggestions that the convention was, you know, rigged, and because of COVID we couldn't all be together. And I was on stage there and watching the counting of the ballots from the Tri-County perspective at Tri-County Technical College on Saturday, and I saw such a transparent such transparency going on. I mean, it was an exciting day. Actually, it was a whole lot of fun.
Well, you know, unfortunately, as you pointed out, we couldn't get the 1,600 people that we normally try to get into one venue. And that was the problem. It wasn't, you know, issues of, you know, government regulations. It was an issue of private entities that, you know, still were worried about CDC guidelines, worried about getting sued or whatever. And so after multiple attempts to try to even buy them extra insurance or offer to, for everybody to sign a waiver or whatever, and the lawyers wouldn't sign off. And so we ended up doing a distributed event where, you know, each county would caucus unto itself in its own separate locations. Of course, folks in the Tri-County area there did it all at one location together and caucus separately.
Right.
We had the Credentials Committee meet in Columbia. So each county would get on the phone and call their representative on the Credentials Committee in Columbia, give them their count of their delegates, give them their count in each of the races when they would cast their ballots. It was live streamed so they could actually hear the count being given in Columbia and see it going up on the tote board, and just, you know, complete transparency. And obviously, again, via paper ballots, where they would cast them, they would count them, and they're in front of God and everybody, and they give their number. So, you know, from a transparency standpoint, it was just as transparent as when we have everyone meet in person. It's essentially the exact same scenario, except for picking up the phone and calling someone in Columbia.
Well, and I had a PolitiGeek moment. I said it on the stage there, sort of emceeing the Tri-County folks coming together, Berkeley, Charleston, and Dorchester at Trident Tech on Saturday. And here are the big screens on east part of the, you know, side of the stage, broadcasting y'all stuff out of Columbia. And I said, I work individually with each of these counties, county GOP groups, Berkeley, Charleston, Dorchester. I said, I'm really geeking out here politically for a moment, because now y'all are all, it's been my dream to get all of them in a room together. And that happened. And so anyway, it was a great experience. Unfortunately, there was a little bit of drama, though. One guy was getting too close with a camera to the counting and basically had to be escorted out by law enforcement. Was there any other shenanigans across the state in any other county?
You know, we got no other reports anywhere around the state.
Oh, of course, Charleston had to be
problems.
The best.
Well, yeah, there's always one. But that's all right. But again, really, really transparent. We got, you know, comments from folks, quite frankly, you know, who had reservations about having to do it this way, who called or sent us emails after the fact and said they were really, really pleased with the way it worked out. So
it was Trump. He actually called you. That was a cool
it
moment.
You know, he called and offered some congratulatory remarks and so forth. And I asked him, you know, if he would mind if I took the phone up to the microphone and let him speak to all the delegates. He said, absolutely. So we got to share that call with everybody there. They're in the room and around the state, via the live stream, and everybody appreciated that. And, which gets back to us, working now to actually unify the party and focus on the problem at hand, and that is put together the campaign organization that we need to beat Democrats in 2022.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because from the stage, I ask everyone to raise their hands if this was the first state convention that they'd ever been a part of. And half the room, Drew, raised their hand. And so we know the time to unify is now, given a third of the party did not vote for Drew McKissick.
Yeah, well, look, in any chairman's race, and again, I've been a part of everyone since 1989, you can find 10% at any given point in time who will vote for someone other than whoever is in charge for whatever reason. That's just always the case. Look, you add to that in this cycle, a group of people, quite frankly, in the upstate, in the Greenville area, who were essentially trying to portray themselves as the only true Trump supporters in the state. So be for us, and we'll kick all these rhinos out. And you had well-meaning Trump supporters who had never been a part of the party process, who didn't know any different. And I think we're misled there. And you add to that a celebrity candidate in the form of Glenn Wood, and you get up to 25%. Okay, so that's easy to explain to me. I mean, again, in terms of being involved in the process for so many years, I get that. But at this point, it's an issue of what unifies us. I mean, we just sit and talk about the platform all day. 95% of us are going to agree on 95% of what's in the platform. We might disagree from day to day over what the priorities should be within the platform at any given point in time. That might have something to do with the latest thing that hit us in the face, whether it was a tax bill or a pothole or, whatever. But what we all know is who the opposition is. That is liberal Democrats, folks who, quite frankly, have just become unmasked, if you will, in recent years. I mean, it's their agenda is about socialism. What can we do to actually stop them? What can we do to stop their candidates? We're going to have elections next year. Every statewide constitutional race is going to be on the ballot. State House is on the ballot. Tim Scott's on the ballot. Our congressional seats are on the ballot. And what the party is a campaign organization. We are a campaign committee. Our job is to elect Republicans. And in this last reorganization cycle, we have doubled our manpower all across the state. We're up 100%, which is incredible. It's never jumped that much ever in the history of our party in terms of manpower, people that have turned out to get involved at the local level. And you saw that by how many hands that you saw go up at the meeting that you attended.
Thank you, 45. Thank you, Donald Trump.
That's right.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Well, and Drew, I know that you're on the road. I know you got stuff to do, but I've got some more questions for you, because it's not just about unifying, but also growing the party. Because I did say from the stage, listen, we can't go to our corners after this. We got to meet in the middle, because the number one goal and our focus should remain protecting freedom, the freest country on the planet. But we got to not just keep a hold of it. We got to grow the party. So I want to talk about ways to do so on the flip side of traffic and weather.
Wake up informed with the Kelly Golden Show, weekday mornings 6 to 9 on 94.3 WSC.
All right. So last call of the day, Ray, yesterday made some waves that even crashed down at the Mount Pleasant Farmers Market yesterday, where a guy from New York recently moved here back in July with his family from Long Island. Said to me, Kelly, when it comes to Ray, had said, "You damn Yankees, don't come here with your blue values." And the New Yorker, Drew McKissick, joining us from the head of the Republican Party in South Carolina, the New Yorker said to me, "Kelly, you wouldn't believe how vetted I was when I tried to join the East Cooper Republicans Club." One guy said, "There's no way you're old enough to have voted for Reagan." And I told him, I said, "Well, don't you appreciate that? You got to appreciate that, right?" So,
totally. I mean, you have people who have who obviously a lot of folks are moving to South Carolina, particularly along the coast. The 7th district and the 1st district are the two fastest growing congressional districts in the state. But it's an issue of who's moving here and from where, and what their political values may be. A lot of them are what I call tax refugees. Right? I mean, these are folks who've moving from high tax states. They've come here because taxes are lower, property taxes are lower. I mean, we might not think our property taxes are low, but relative to where they are, they're much, much lower. So it's an issue of what type of political values are they bringing. And we want to, remind people, remember why you left. Don't fall into the trap of turning, South Carolina into what you just ran away from. But it is... There have been studies done in terms of polls that have broken out, you know, people who have recently moved versus people who actually, you know, have lived here all their lives, and the differences in the way they vote. I know one recent one that I saw that was done in Texas. Governor Abbott talked about this in a meeting I was at a month ago in Texas. But when they did a poll in the last election cycle and split people out among those who moved from California to Texas versus people who lived in Texas all their lives, the folks from California were just as conservative as, and voted just as Republican as the ones who lived in Texas all their life. So, you know, you've got anecdotal issues of, you know, let's say the liberal Yankees have moved down and so forth, but you know, it really depends on where you're standing at any given point in time in our state. You know, you've got some pockets with white-collar retirees, some pockets with blue-collar retirees, some pockets with folks who are younger who just moved down here for the job, maybe in the downtown Charleston area. So it just really depends on where you're standing.
I just know people in the Republican Party have talked to me about this as I go and talk with each groups in meetings, you know, capturing the snowbirds, the newbies from wherever they are is definitely key for the GOP to keep South Carolina ruby red, as Tim Scott recently called South Carolina on the program. So we got to have a plan, whether it's Hispanics or Latinos or even growing the movement of black conservatives and blacks, you know, for example, moving forward.
Right.
So moving forward, because we're almost out of time here with Drew McKissick again, reelection for chairman of the Republican Party here in South Carolina. What passed and what's left when it comes to the state house and Senate? We know they're adjourned for now until what, June?
You'll come back for a special in June to take care of but more budgetary issues, essentially modifying the budget, if you will, based on the big, you know, coronavirus relief stuff that had been passed by Congress. Well, due to some recent lawsuits, results of some recent lawsuits, states now have more latitude in how they use that money. So essentially, they're going to go in and rework the budget to account for that new money. And quite frankly, it's possible it could result in some tax relief. I know in some states, that's definitely what's going to happen. I'm hopeful that can actually happen here. And when you go forward and look in terms rather of things that we did, obviously, 6 weeks out of the gate when the session started, we got the heartbeat bill passed into law, record time in 6 weeks, signed into law. We've had election reform now actually passed the House and the Senate with some modifications, been sent back to the House. The governor will be able to sign that into law probably in June when they come back and the House concurs on what the Senate did. But the important part of that bill is it mandates that every county election commission around the state has to be subject to the authority of the state election commission and has to implement state election laws and voting regulations uniformly around the state. Now, I know that sounds profound, but that's not the way it is here in South Carolina. Charleston County can be different than Pickens County. That puts us in a potential legal problem, you know, in a future close statewide election, quite frankly. You could be in, you know, just knee-deep in litigation. Moving forward from that, we're looking for some legislation relating to mail-in absentee ballots and voter roll purging and so forth that we've got sitting in the House now to make progress on. Things that pass one chamber that are waiting to pass the other chamber, the Religious Freedom Act. You know, that houses of worship can't be shut down in, you know, times like what we just went through with coronavirus, would set that in law. That passed the House. We're waiting to get it through the Senate.
I can't believe we weren't able to protect girls' sports. I mean, what on earth?
Oh, yeah. Well, that, and again, it failed to get through the House. It failed to get through specifically through the Judiciary Committee in the House. So what's happening is it has been reintroduced in the Senate. 20 Republican members of the Senate have co-sponsored that bill. And quite frankly, we're going to work to get it past the Senate and just embarrass the House and put it right back out there for them come January and have just a bright, white, hot spotlight focused on the House so we can get that through. Because girls should not have to compete against guys in sports, much less for college scholarships. I mean, we're talking about Title IX here. I mean, what is this? Open the doors to college scholarships, financial help for families over the years. It's ridiculous, and we ought to easily be able to get that passed in a state like South Carolina, in my opinion.
Well, we know the governor opposes any vaccine passports or requirements. That happened.
And then I know
you got a couple more there on the list, and we'll wrap it to traffic and weather here.
Well, you know, again, the voting related pieces of legislation are at the top of our list from a party standpoint. I mean, we're a campaign committee. We want to make sure we didn't have the problems here that they had in other states, as you well know. We stopped the Democrats from being able to do that. And we went into court. We fought them all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we won. But That doesn't mean we can't tighten up the election laws that we have here in the state to make sure we don't have problems in the future. That's at the top of our list.
Yeah, because it's at the top of the Democrats' list to flip it blue in 22.
That's right. That's right.
All exactly. Right. Safe travels. I know Drew's on the road with his wife. Appreciate you joining us weekly here, Drew McKissick on 94.3 WSC.
That was the Kelly Golden Show podcast. Catch her show live weekday morning 6 to 9 on 94.3 WSC.